All right, turn to John 17. John 17, Isaac is going to read. John 17, 9 through 17. Mark is going to read 1 Samuel 12, 23. Dwayne, Luke 22, 31 and 32. Gabe. All the rest I'm just going to quote pieces of. Okay, never mind, Gabe. Sorry. You are that close. John 17 is almost the entire chapter is a prayer. It's a prayer of Jesus Christ. And so nearing the end of his ministry, you know, this is the final week of his life. And the end, he prays. So what is it that it is important for him to do? He prays. And what is he praying for? He could be praying for world peace, right? He could be praying for a lot of things. But he is praying for his men. And so kind of the inspiration for this, I had a few guys, I think Devin and Stephen asked me this week, they heard me praying in the morning for that God would protect the congregation. They were asking, why do I pray that? And so made me think of this scripture here. John 17, let's read verse 9 through 17. I want to minister about praying for people.
I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Okay, praying for people. Let's talk about the need for prayer. One of the main tasks of leadership is praying for people. And prayer is a pastoral dimension, but it is also a leadership dimension. You want to be a leader in any way. You want to lead your home. You want to lead new converts. You want to lead in the church. In any form, prayer is a dimension of leadership. And the old saying says we pastor people on our knees. Verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. Again, and this is significant because this is the final week of his ministry, the final week of his life. What is important? I pray for them. And that is very important. So Jesus is saying, I am asking that a supernatural dimension be added to these people's hearts, to their lives, to their situation. And he believed that prayer was going to make a practical difference. Fascinating to me, if ever I'm working on a sermon on prayer, I'm going to preach a sermon this morning on prayer. If you look at commentaries or sermons, different things, is often what they're emphasizing is kind of doesn't do much, but it's really good. Really makes you close to God. That is not why Jesus is praying here, to get close to God. Is in fact, he believed something practical, it was going to make a difference in their lives. And so I want to tell you, prayer is an obligation. We have to arrange our schedule. For some of you, you have to get out of bed. When I was, now I wake up very early in the morning. When I was young, I struggled to get out of bed. But it is an obligation, and especially a leadership obligation. 1 Samuel 12:23.
Moreover, as for me, Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way.
Okay, this actually puts it in a bit different term, doesn't it? I want to make sure that I don't sin. What is it, drugs, pornography? No, I don't want to not pray for you. He said it would be wrong to have people that I care for and not pray for them. He said that would be wrong. So that's an obligation. Okay, very simply, I want you to think about three dimensions of prayer for others that we see partly in this text and partly elsewhere. Number one, you need to pray for people personally, by name. We could say, Lord, bless the world. And that my prayer is done, right? I just prayed for everybody. But Jesus prayed for people individually by name. Luke 22, 31 and 32.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Okay. Simon, here's his name. I have prayed for you. So, this is, he is pointing out, Peter, you have individual weaknesses. Your current situation, you are going to come under heavy assault. And so the reason why he's pointing this out is what he prays for Simon may not exactly be what he prays for others. So that if you're going to pray for people by name, let me just give you some suggestions. Number one, there has to be awareness. You got to kind of be aware in some degree of depending on how large the group is, of course, is you got to kind of be aware of what's going on in people's lives, right? So that you have to, you can't live in your own little world. The movie going on in your head, the key is, I'm aware that there's a problem in somebody's life, so therefore, I focus and I pray for them by name. Secondly, gentlemen, you may be good, but the only way you're going to be able to pray for people by name is to have lists. And I don't mean that every day needs to be just simply I prayed because I went through the list. I have the name of every person in our church, and I work through that list. I pray. I don't pray for every one of them every day. I pray for you. You're on my list. I pray for you by name. And when I know that something's going on, when I know there's sickness, marriage problem, financial crisis, just a struggle in general, I focus in by name. You need to pray for people personally. And I suggest to you, you make your own list. People you have contact with. I don't know about you, but I can never remember things until I get down to pray. When I pray, I suddenly remember everything I need to be fixing, everything that is lost. Right? That's a distraction. So in some way, lists guide me. They focus me. All right. Secondly, we need to pray for the group. You don't just pray for individual people. Jesus is praying for his followers, the group in this case. You need to pray for the church. You need to pray for our fellowship of churches. That's the group. Obviously, you don't have enough time in the day to pray for 2,900 churches every day, or certainly not every person in every church. You don't even know them. You need to pray for the group. Thirdly, we need to pray for leaders. Jesus here probably is including all the followers, but he is especially praying for his disciples who were going to be the leaders of the church. So, leaders set the pace. Okay, you have we have a whole group of people. Everybody in our church needs to be prayed for, but not everybody in our church has the same level of influence. Some people have more influence. They are dynamic. They have leadership qualities. Some people follow them and it mystifies. I have no idea why, but they do. So you are wise to focus in. I pray for everybody, but there are certain people I really pray for them. Because I know if they make right decisions, they will cause numbers of other people to make right decisions. So you pray for people personally, you pray for the group, you pray for leaders. You need to pray in our fellowship. We have leaders in our fellowship. They serve a very important role. If they will keep doing right, then our fellowship will stay on course. So I pray for leaders. Secondly, let's talk about leadership prayers. So one of the things, if you are, this is a studying issue. If I'm looking at John 17, okay, this is about prayer, and I want to know what to pray for. Obviously, not every text tells you everything in the world, but I see some things in this text that we should pray for, individually, group, and leaders. Number one, Jesus prays for unity. Verse 11, that they may be one as we are. Disunity is destructive. Okay, the Tower of Babel, all building progress stopped by disunity. They couldn't talk to one another, and when they can't talk to one another, then suddenly progress halted. That is true in every family, in every ministry, in every church, every area where there are multiple churches and in the fellowship. So I would love to say that everybody in our church, I'd love to say everybody in my family, I'd love to say everybody in our fellowship, it's all for Jesus. But that's not true. Unfortunately, we are people. You have competition, gossip. People talk bad about each other. They fight. They're suspicious. There are people. They think suspicion is a gift of the Spirit. I'm suspicious of everybody, right? Nobody's doing the right thing. That's not helpful. And I can tell you, I have pastored in areas where there are people who are contentious and divisive. It's tiring. I want to get people saved, and instead I got to answer, charges, or I got to try to defend against people who are trying to build a kingdom. That's different. So Jesus prays because disunity distracts people. It changes people negatively. Unfortunately, God has granted me the maturity. If I know, hey, in families, churches, fellowships, there are people, they got real problems. I don't know if you're aware of this. We have problems in our church. If you don't believe me, when you go home, look in the mirror, you're going to get a clue. Okay, so, but I have the maturity to understand that's life. Okay, I'm not going to quit serving God. I'm not going to quit being a pastor. It's like, oh my God, there are people that have problems here. But there are people who can't handle that. Right? I thought when I got saved that now we're all going to have love. So I can't be a Christian. Or I got to leave the church and find a church where there is love. That doesn't make sense. So we pray for unity. Or the other way to look at it, we pray against disunity. Right? You pray against that. I rebuke pride and self-interest and all those things. Secondly, what does Jesus pray for? And this is, of course, the question that sparked this. He prays for protection. Verse 11, keep. Verse 12, kept. Verse 15, keep. The word in its most basic form, it's to observe, but why? To protect. Even some translations, Lord, I'm praying that you will protect them. Guard them from harm. So, this is a basic theological foundation. The enemy of our souls wants to harm us. He would like to do you harm. The enemy of our souls, he wants to harm the work of God. So we understand from the Bible, because he doesn't like you and he doesn't like God and the work of God, he makes plans. He is strategizing. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you. You probably have heard Pastor Campbell preach about that word means handcrafted, right? What is a temptation for you may mean nothing to another person, but the devil handcrafts strategies to try to get you to fall or to get you to distracted or whatever. And of course, part of the problem, the question was asked, what are you praying against? Well, we may not know all of his strategies. I don't know what the devil is planning for me, for the church, whether that's temptation, slander, witchcraft, etc., etc. So, in one sense, I don't care. I don't live my life in fear. I'm not like, oh my God, the Satanists right now are sacrificing cats. I don't really care. Okay, I lived in, you know my stories of being up against intense witchcraft in South Africa. So, but this scripture says it doesn't really matter because we can pray that God will protect. Right? Verse 32, goes back to the verse that was read before. Of Luke 21:32, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail, and then when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So, Peter, I am praying for you. The devil is trying to destroy you. So, temptation. That's a basic issue, isn't it? Is to pray for new converts and pray, God, you got to strengthen them. What was it years ago? Brandon Pepich told the story of. He got saved and was doing drugs before he got saved. Now he's saved. He's been saved like a week. He's helping his dad do landscaping or maintenance. And in the yard is a bag of drugs. Just happened to fall there. That's from hell, right? So that's the idea of a handcrafting. You know, if for one person they found a bag of drugs, they probably wouldn't even know what it is. But it would be no temptation another person. That's a big deal. Pray against temptation in general. God, strengthen men in our church against pornography. Strengthen them against sexual temptation. False doctrine. We pray against false doctrine. I just finished a series that I am coming against false doctrine because I know waves of doctrine come through. I get people in the church go, oh, Pastor, have you read this book? Oh, this guy, he's awesome. I saw this video on YouTube. He's power. And then I look at it, I say, guys, that's complete false doctrine. That's dangerous. So I pray against that. God, you got to help us. You got to protect us in many ways. Pastor Mitchell was a man of prayer. And years ago, doctrine came out. It was a supposed revival in Brownsville. In Pensacola, Florida, and men, even leaders in our fellowship, it's God, it's powerful, it's awesome. I went, I felt angels, wings brushing my face, and all kind of nonsense like this. Pastor Mitchell, before he even had the facts, because he's a man of prayer, he said it's false doctrine, not God. Then he got information and found that it was false doctrine, protected us from destruction. And then, of course, there are people that are dangerous. I pray that God protect us against dangerous people. And that can be in 100 different ways. From perverts to people in false doctrine, rebels, false accusation. So we pray for protection. That's why he says in verse 15, I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but I pray that you should keep or protect them from the evil one. That kind of sums up everything I just said. Third thing Jesus prays for, he prays for equipping. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, set apart for a purpose. So he says, I am praying for my men that they will be set apart. And I'm asking you to equip them so that they will be able to do what God has called them to do. Truth is going to be the key to that. So, he's praying for equipping. What is it that people need? Wisdom. You ever want to know? I get from time to time, guys send me texts of fasting time or just different times. Anything I can pray for you for. You can always, always, always pray for me. I will take wisdom. I handle complex situations that affect people's lives in many different ways. Wisdom. So I pray for other people. God, give them wisdom, fruitfulness, balance. Some people are imbalanced, man. They go, no, you got to lasso them. And they go, zee, whoa, 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 whoa. Just how about the middle? The middle is very good. Very good. That's just drive like an old lady drives. Just down the middle. Right? You know. People skills. They're guys. They got good hearts. They want to win souls. They just offend people left and right. God, you got to help them so that they quit offending people. Compassion. You cannot be a man of God unless you care. God grant it. That God can give you a miracle of compassion, anointing, that's effectiveness. So a lot of things, but equipping. So unity, protection, equipping. Those are three things Jesus prays for. Final thought, what prayer produces. In our text, he says that prayer causes the will of God to be accomplished. Those whom you have given me in verse 9. God, you planned for these men to be in contact with Jesus Christ. That is true in the world. God plans for things to happen in the world, in our church. I believe that God has planned for things to happen today in church. In our lives, there are things that God has plans for your life. And so when we pray, he says the will of God can be accomplished. God planned it, but we got to pray for it. And finally, prayer causes other people to be blessed. Verse 13, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they may have my joy. You know what? When we do things God's way, life goes a lot better. Have you learned that? It really does work a lot better. And doing the will of God, there's a great thrill in the fact of being a part of. We played some small part in God touch people's lives. Would it be fair to say, David, that you're feeling pretty spiffy today about all the people that came yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is, you organize something and an outreach that is effective. That's satisfying, because I've had outreaches that sucked, and I can tell you that's not as satisfying. I had outreaches where I didn't have quite that many visitors. Okay, so, and then of course he says, ultimately, there are things, if we pray for these things, these are things, he calls it my joy. You ever think about that? There are things we can do, we make God happy. That we do right and God is going, yes, awesome, that's great. So, and this all comes about by prayer, that's praying for people. Okay, let's open for questions. Something you want to ask about praying for people. Who's that? Go ahead, David.
When you have a list of things or people that you pray for, over time it can add up and there's no way you can cover everything in one day.
No, you
so
can't.
How do you
I just pray for a portion during the day, yeah. So prayer works by lists, of course, are effective, so I don't forget. But I don't mean for it to be by, you know, a boring rote. The other thing is that I pray for, I pray by a list so I don't forget. I pray by need that I know of, right? Someone is sick. I'm praying. Pastor John Zasweta is in the hospital intubated with COVID pneumonia. I know that, so I'm praying for him. And we're going to pray. Pastor Jesse is going to put him on the list, and we're going to pray today for Pastor John Zasweta. That's a need that I know. Thirdly is I am impressed. There are people that come to mind. They're not on the list, or maybe they're at the end of the list and I wouldn't get to them today, but for some reason, they're just on my mind, and so I'm praying for them. That's by the leading of the Spirit. God knows what's going on, so he guides me. So as far as the list, of course, I mean, we have almost 700 people in the church. I can't, you know, I'd be there for a long time every day if I'm just going through, or else I'd have to be speed speaking the whole list. So yeah, just I take a section, however many names a day that I'm working that in. Yeah, you know, that depends. In morning prayer, morning prayer tends to be 40, 45 minutes. So, yeah, it all depends. The limit depends on how desperate you are, right? Sometimes you're desperate. You pray. It depends on how soon you think you're going to die. It's like, I'm going to pray. So, Mark?
Do you ever break it up, separate it, like, just to stay focused on, like, say you have needs within the church, and then you have unsaved folks. Do you separate?
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I work that in. I tend to pray for my unsaved sister and nieces and nephews most days. Right. So those are people that are on my heart the most, in as far as salvation. And so I do that, and then. And then people in the church that's working through. Yeah. So, yeah.
Along those same lines, what are things that you pray for daily?
Well, number one, you will hear me pray for wisdom more than anything else. I start with wisdom because I need it the most. Right? So you understand, the decisions that I make, they affect people's lives. I take that very serious, right? There are things that's like, I can't even tell all the different ways. It just affects people's lives. I take that very serious. It's not a light thing to, we're going to launch a church, or I got to put you out of the church. Or those are things I don't just like wake up in the morning and I feel like I'm serious. I got to pray about that. This is going to affect the course of people's lives. So wisdom, I pray for probably more than anything else. I always start with wisdom, because that's what I need. Every day, then for salvation, I'm praying for revelation. I need God to speak to me so that I can preach well. I'm praying for fruitfulness. I need people to get saved. You know, yeah, those are things that are every day. The salvation of loved ones would be every day. Yeah. And other things are just need-based or list-based. Yep.
How do you balance praying for others and also praying for your own issues?
Well, yeah, you just do. Prayer is not all about me, nor is prayer all about others. It's, right? Give us this day our daily bread. That's what I need, right? And then you pray, there are other things. The Lord's Prayer is balanced. I'm praying for things for me. I'm praying for things for others as well. So, yes, there should be. Some people have a strange idea it's wrong to pray for themselves. That's not correct, not biblical. And then other people, they only pray for themselves, and they don't care. Let the world go to hell as long as I have money and I'm happy. So neither of those are correct. You just balance it. Yep. So, however you do it, whether you do it by a list, or you can do it in your head, or I don't care. You just need to pray. That's one of the most basic things you need to do. You want to be a disciple, you need to pray. And you need to develop a discipline to pray every day. If you're starting out or you're struggling, you need to pray some every day. Set aside 10 minutes, If you're starting out, again, we've talked in a lot of things that guys who recognize I'm failing, I'm a slug, I have been praying, so I need to make up for all the prayer that I didn't pray last month, so I owe God 29 hours today, and it's just not going to work, right? So start consistently is what you need to do. Develop a discipline. That is why we have prayer every morning. It becomes a discipline. Getting out of bed. As I said, I struggled for quite some time when I was young to get up. Now, there are times that I'm up. It doesn't matter. It drives my wife crazy. If we have a day off or go on vacation, I'm still getting up early. Why don't you sleep in? I can't. I've gotten up early for so long. So, but anyway, I learned a discipline. You pray every day. Somebody else.
That list that you have, or lists, plural, that you have, do you have in there like specific things, like for instance protection that you mentioned, but are there other things that you regularly pray for, like wisdom, obviously, but other things like that?
Yeah, there is two different kinds of things that I'm talking about. If I look here on, not here. Where is it? Here's on my... So, I have church prayer list. That's all of you. Your name is on that. Then I have Prescott pastors. This is every pastor out of the Prescott Church, and leaders are on that. Those are by names. Then I have what I call all prayer lists, which is not really a prayer list. What it is these are sections. So I have an entire section. They are promises of guidance. So when I'm asking God to guide me, right? I had yesterday a pastor tell me that he wants to lead his church come July conference. So I now am praying about a replacement. So that's guidance. So sometimes I will quote those. These are actually lists of scriptures, not lists of prayers. So guidance is one thing. Fruitfulness is the next section. I have a whole thing on fruitfulness. Deliverance and dominion. If I'm praying and I'm recognizing there's a resistance in some way. Healing. Financial promises. Holy Spirit promises, refreshing, and then I have, you know, concern lists. There are people that I know that they're struggling in various ways, marriage, all kinds of things. So yeah, those are things that the scriptures are something, they help me in my faith. I need this. God, you said in your word, or I'm struggling, I recognize there's resistance, so I can go to that. I'm quoting those scriptures as a part of prayer. That's a biblical basis. Is I'm not praying because Greg says so. This is your idea. You said so. This is what I want you to do. Yeah? Somebody else?
How different is it when you're praying from like 5:30 before a church service versus in the morning prayer? Like, I know we're obviously praying for the service, but are you praying for the service the entire time, or is there other things that you pray for?
No. I'm never spending one entire session praying for any one thing. There's a lot of needs in the world. What's the difference between morning prayer and evening prayer? Caffeine. That's the difference. That's the real difference. Yeah. No, and you are correct. In the evening service, I probably am praying for the service where that might not be really the focus of my prayer in the morning. But that is correct. Anybody else? JW, sorry, back there. Yeah.
You mentioned praying for you, wisdom, unsafe family, but then you being a leader amongst leaders, what would be some things we could pray for? Like you are a leader, but you are a leader of leaders.
So in leaders, so I'm praying for them for wisdom. I'm praying for them to stay the course and whatever. But then leaders are also human. So I'm also praying for, there's competing agendas sometimes. Guys, they're good men, they're doing a great job, but they also maybe get focused on their sphere. So I need God to help them. You know, but the same things, they need wisdom. I talk to, in my position, I get leaders call me with their problems, right? It kind of moves up the food chain. So you get a guy in the, I'm going to ask the pastor, so I don't know, I'll ask my pastor, and then I'll ask the leader, and then the leader, I'm going to ask me. I'm like, oh, great. That's exciting. So. Yeah, and then of course there's some that I award them call of the day because they have a situation. I've pastored for 35, 36 years, and I still get situations like, I've never heard that one before. That's you get extra points, call of the day. So that's why we need wisdom. It is very entangled in many different ways. Nate?
Pastor, kind of a, I guess, historical or practical question. I've heard you mention Pastor Mitchell, here in praying and going out to the shed and whatnot. Was he doing that in Foursquare, or is that something that he kind of implemented?
Yeah, you know what? Is my father, from the time he got saved, he started praying, which is miraculous. Because that is not at all in their, it's just not in the church culture. So for them, prayer meeting was Wednesday night. They didn't have church, they had a prayer meeting. That was actually how we came to have Wednesday night services, is he said, I'm the only one praying. They're all just sitting around listening to me. So he said, why are we, that's a waste. So no, it was not. And you've heard me mention, if you look at any of the local church, look at any local church website and see how many times they list prayer meetings. Most of them once, a few twice a week. That's it. So it's very rare. It was something in him. He just had a revelation that he needed to pray. So in the history of our fellowship, he always prayed regardless. It used to be, I don't know how he would pray, you know, in, apart from church, but it used to be that prayer meeting was like 10:30 in the morning. 10 or 10:30, something like that. And then he actually, where morning prayer meeting came from, like, you know, that we do things just because we've always done them. And he went and in Gallup, New Mexico, is they started praying. Of course, people can't come at 10:30. They're working jobs. So why don't we pray before we go to work? And Pastor Joe, when he saw that, he said, yes. I mean, he always prayed every day. But from that time, we shifted it to morning prayer. And that's been forever since. I think we always had prayer before service, according to my memory. Yeah. And that's how we came to morning prayer. As far as him, he prayed morning prayer, afternoon, evening, whatever. He did it. He always prayed. Yeah.
Just a practical thing. You have the lists of fruitfulness scriptures, deliverance, dominion. Would it make sense to assign kind of like a scripture to something you're praying for and put that on the list? So you pray the scriptures for situations or just in general?
It can be. Yeah. This is not... Number one, these are things... First of all, my list of scriptures came out of struggle. That's why people, could I have your list? No. Because it won't have the same effect. Those came, you know, why do I have lists of fruitfulness? Because there were times when I was dying to death, no one was getting saved. So I was like, God, this is what I'm searching scriptures and finding out to build my faith. Healing. It came out of struggle. I was struggling to be healed, or I was struggling to get people healed, so et cetera. So the scriptures that I gave you, that certainly are not the only scriptures in the world that people need. Those are categories of different points in time where I have worked out with God, this is what I need. So that could be different for you. But yeah, you could pray for I'm praying for Susie and she needs God, you said in your word. Yeah, that'd be valid. I'm all for it. I'm all for anything you do as long as you pray. Yeah, that's good. Did you have another question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you are fasting, and is it right to pray for that specific need?
Well, you'll spend more time praying for that. Okay. Fasting has two different purposes, doesn't it? So you can say, I need a job. I'm fasting for a job. So obviously you're fasting. Much of your prayer will be focused on praying for a job. But fasting also is to make you sensitive to God. You are denying the flesh so that you can get closer to God. So that has a benefit apart from just praying for the problem you're fasting about. So in that sense, you could fast not because there's a problem. You could just fast to deny your flesh and to be sensitive to God. Depends on why you're fasting. Somebody else? Thinking. Now, totally shifting from that, now this is a sermon or a teaching lesson as well. So, number one, I don't prepare sermons for people, meaning if Isaac came and I hear that Isaac is gossiping, it's like, I'm going to do a sermon. going, I'm looking at Isaac going, that doesn't work well, right? Or people are counseling with me and I'm going to do a sermon on what they just counted. That never works well. Most of my sermons come from Bible reading. But it is valid sometimes, like, you know, this lesson came out of a question that someone was asking. So therefore, I answered the question, but I'm going to God's word. Sometimes God helps you. That's how revelation comes. Okay, and I asked the guys at breakfast yesterday, so if I want to answer I want to do a lesson on praying for people, what are some Bible examples? I think Pastor Jesse correctly said Ephesians 1, that's a famous one, Paul praying for people. But their question was actually about protection, so Ephesians 1 is more about just revelation and that you would understand the love of God. So I'm thinking mentally through all the different scriptures, and I was thinking which one talks about protection. So that's how I came to this. So then once I choose that passage, all I did was I laid a foundation that we need to pray, which is what Jesus is doing, and I pulled from there then, what did he pray for? That would be a valid sermon. You could do that. So, do you understand the difference in what I just told you? So, no one will be offended. If you ask me a question and I do a sermon because I was triggered by something you asked or said, that's not offensive to anybody. It's like, that's great. I want to know that. That's helpful. Whereas, I know you're having marriage problems. I'm preaching on marriage. And I quote the exact words you just told me 2 days ago. That's not going to... No, wait a minute. That will be offensive. And I don't do that. So that you learn a lesson. That's what I teach guys. There are pastors that do that. And I call that reactionary preaching. I hear there's gossip, I preach on gossip. Right? I hear there's fighting, I preach on fighting. And so I don't think that that works well. Because you then, of course, cause people to tune it out because you're just preaching this because you know that I'm doing that. So it doesn't work as well. Yep. That was an extra lesson. I didn't even charge you for that one. It wasn't in there. Good. Okay, guys.